anyway. All right, let's get started, okay? Can somebody talk to her? Anthony, can you go? Or okay, Shabbat Shalom, friends. Welcome. Welcome to service today. We're glad you're with us, and we bless you in the name of the Lord. And we just pray the Shalom of the Lord today in Yeshua's name. And we just thank you, Lord, that you put the service in your hands today in Yeshua's name. Ask that you would be Lord and take control and bring Shalom, bring peace here today. We thank you we're going to have a victorious service today. And in the name of Yeshua, thank you for a victorious service today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you scare that guy by the cops being out there. You put the fear of God into that man next door, that he locks those dogs up on a line like he's supposed to. He knows he is. And we pray that you put the fear of God into him, that he locks up those dogs and puts them on a leash like he's supposed to, so that they don't go chasing after our people. Thank you, folks, for joining us today. We're glad everybody's here and glad you're watching today. Yeah, I believe the Lord has a great service for you. And we're excited to worship. So, Father, we just lift up this service. We put it in your hands, Lord. Take it from us. Take the service from us, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Like Toby Mac said, if you want to steal my show, I'll sit back and watch you go. Take the service today, Lord, and have your way. Bind the enemy. Bind the enemy, Lord. We have neighbors and people. We're not against flesh and blood, but spirits and powers and principalities of darkness that try to attack us, Lord. They go work through people and animals, and we just pray for peace today, for shalom, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. And I'm going to ask William and Eddie if every so often you just go outside and take a look around, make sure nothing's going on in the parking lot. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. It's good to know. Let's do Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Bisimcha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Bisimcha, Ora Bisimcha, Shabbat Bisimcha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Bisimcha, Shabbat Bisimcha.
This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his rest.
Thank you, Lord, that you have given us all authority under heaven to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And we just trample on the power of the enemy today in the name of Yeshua. We trample on your power, Satan. We trample on it right now in the name of Yeshua. We take authority. We bind all evil and all principalities of darkness and uncleanness in this neighborhood. We just bind it in the name of Yeshua. We just take authority and we trample on the snake's head in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, right now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Blessing of the Messiah.
Brukatad and I, Elohim, Yumelech, Haolam, Asher Natalen, Derek, HaYeshua, Mashiach, Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Matobu.
Matobu. Oh, hallelujah, Mishkenot Teva Israel, how goodly thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel.
Where you dwell in the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, my prayers be to you, O Lord, at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. You know, for folks watching online, I'm sorry we're late. We had some dog issues with our neighbor, but that's a good sign, because when if you're not persecuted, you're not doing it right. Amen? Amen. But I do want to say that I'm going to teach today on some of the things we say in Hebrew that we're going to do shortly, the Vi'ahavta and the Shema. I'm going to teach on them today and why we do them. But not only why we do them, the blessing of the words themselves in English, and that you understand. You know, people may not understand Hebrew, but if they understand English, if you understand, we're going to talk about the blessing of the of some of the stuff that we're going to do in Hebrew today, so you understand why we do it, okay? All right, so we're going to do the Bishamru right now. Bishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. B'nei u'b'nei b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael odhi li'olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai shemayim v'et haaretz. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shvi'i shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, fish amru, v'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la-sod et ha-shabbat, le-dorotam berit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. William, could you come up for a second here? I just want to mention something.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace now more. For God will bless them that love her.
Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And there's a lot going on over there right now. There's a threat of missile war with Iran. Big threat of missile war coming. Israel is going to need, if it happens, going to need God's help, because their ability to stop the rockets, and these aren't just rockets, these are missiles that can target certain cities and buildings and things from Iran and from Lebanon, Syria, wherever. And Israel has a record of stopping about 90%, but not 100%. So Lord, we just pray that you would cause those rockets, if they fall, and when anytime they fall in the desert, that they malfunction, that they blow up on the launch pad. Lord, we pray that they fail like the Korean rockets, the North Korean rockets. We just pray that they fail. Lord, we pray, Lord, that they would fall in the desert, fall in the wilderness and in the ocean, in the sea. We pray, Lord, that they would not harm any children or any people, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we know that these times of Jacob's trouble have to come, Lord, I'm reminiscent this morning in Judges how it said that Israel didn't follow the Lord, and the Lord brought the Midianites against the Israelites, and they harassed and they persecuted the Israelites until the Israelites cried out to God. And so we know that persecution brings people to cry out to God, Lord, and we know you want your people to cry out to you. We pray for the scales to fall from their eyes, that they would cry out for the living God, to know you and to be saved, Lord, that you would remove the scales, the blinders from their eyes. We pray for Benny Gantz and the new government, Lord. We just pray that you bless the new leader of Israel, Lord. We just pray that you would That we pray for Aliyah, Lord. We pray for that you would open the doors for Aliyah, that the secular that it would remove the people that are hindering Aliyah, that you would take them out and bring in people who are friendly to Messianics and Christians who love Israel, and that you would open the doors to bring for us to move for to make Aliyah, Lord. That you would open the doors for your people to make Aliyah to Israel. We ask, Lord, break down the walls, part the Red Sea. We pray for Aliyah. Lord, we just pray. We don't know how it's going to happen. We don't understand it. We don't know where we're going to get the funds. We don't know where we're going to get the planes. We just believe it's going to happen, Lord. And we just ask that you would help us, Lord. We can see the handwriting on the wall in this country in the next 5 years or so, Lord, whether, many know what I'm talking about, how things are going to change. We can just see it in this state we're in right now. It flipped from red to blue overnight a couple days ago, and they're already talking about gun grabs, and they're talking about taking away open carry, and they're talking about, they're already starting in with the things that they've been threatening with people. And it's just like, leave us alone. Leave the people of Southwest Virginia alone. And if you all, I live in a red state and I'm next to a blue state and I'm on a state line. If you want to know what it's like, I'll be glad to tell you. People are leaving that state next door to us because of the taxes and because of the laws and all the baloney that from the government there. They're leaving. And they're selling their houses, but they're coming here. They're coming to the Tennessee, this red state where there's no income tax. So we invite you to come and join us. And there's only property tax here, sales tax. So come and join us in Tennessee and come worship with us, right, Deborah? Amen. Come worship with us at Ari Yehuda. Anyway, Lord, we pray for the Messianic leaders, and God bless those brothers, those rabbis, and colleagues of mine who are on a cruise this week. I couldn't be there because of treatment, but I was invited by Jonathan Burness to be on that cruise that he took all the rabbis every year. He takes the rabbis on something nice. He takes them to a hotel or nice city, or this year he took them on a cruise, and I was invited. The Sklar's offered me, they invited me anyway to go, but the Sklar's offered me their hotel rooms in Florida and couldn't take them because of cancer treatment, but that's okay. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord today, and just pray, Lord, for the leaders, that you bless them and fill them up, refresh them, and just remove the spirit of Shebna from our leadership, our executive leadership, and bring in the spirit of Eliakim, Lord. Just take out that spirit of Shebna and replace it with the spirit of Eliakim, of humility, meekness, and fatherhood. We have many teachers, but we have few fathers, your word says, Lord. We need more fathers in the movement, Lord. I pray for that. Thank you for Jonathan Burness and his kindness to me and his kindness to my family and our congregation, Lord. He's a friend to us, Lord, and he's been in touch with me many times as I've been going through cancer, so God bless him, and thank you. He's a brother with a heart, and a kind man. And we just thank you, Lord, for that you save our people, Lord. Save your chosen people, save your people Israel, the Jewish people among the nations. I pray, Lord, that you remove the blinders from their eyes and save them, Lord, as persecution increases in this country, that they would cry out to you and they would be open to you and realize that you're the Messiah, that you'd reveal yourself to them and save them. Pray for my sister, Barbara, and Molly, and Mark, my brother, and I pray for their children and my cousins, and I pray for my family for their salvation, Lord. Just give me three others besides me to help me with my huge family. Just give me three more to support me in this, Lord, give me three more for starters, Lord. That's all I ask, to help me fight this fight, Lord. It's been 23 long years by myself, being the only believer in my family. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, bless this service. Bless Revitz and Dawn as she has to go back to work today. She only came home Thursday night, and she's got to go back right now. They called her back in. So help her pass her test, her last test. Lord, give her peace, give her shalom, give her the victory, and help her to just fly the plane and be calm and do what she knows to do. In Yeshua's name, Lord, we love our Revitzin, and just be with her, keep her safe, give her your angels charge over her today. And I pray for Linda's brother, Jerry, who went through open heart surgery, that he's healing well and no complications. We pray for Linda and Buzz, and that everything goes smoothly for them, Lord. And anyone else who's sick, if you have sickness or anything, just raise your hand. Or if you know somebody that needs prayer, just raise your hand. And we just pray for Sharon and whoever she's praying for. We just agree with her in prayer for their healing. And we give you the praise and the glory, Lord, in Yeshua's name. And I want to give you praise that my blood counts went up this week. And the treatments, even though it seems to be working, it's just starting. We got a ways to go, 4 months, but it seems to be working, and my blood counts are starting to go up, and I'm excited about that. So praise God. And, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jacob. I appreciate that. I don't believe I'm going to die from it either. I really do. I don't believe I have work to do. I know I have work to do. But thank you for the word. Okay, let's move on.
Servant of the Lord.
Yes.
And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him and gather Israel to Himself, for he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Do we have a Venu Volcano? We can do it this week. Echo.
Avinu
Volcano,
maker of all things,
maker of all things,
ruling o'er the works of your hand,
of your hand.
You loved us so,
you sent your son.
For the Shema. This is the greatest commandment that I'm about to read to you. And it's the greatest commandment in the Old Testament. It's the greatest commandment in the New Testament. It's the greatest commandment of God. And I'm going to read it in Hebrew. We're going to say it in English. And I'm going to teach you on it today. Praise the Lord. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch.
Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Vaed.
V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta baham v'shivtecha v'beitecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech u'v'shach b'cha v'kumecha u'kishartam liot al yadecha v'hayu l'totafot b'nei necha u'chetavtam al mezuzot b'itecha u'visharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask my son Isaac to carry the Torah this morning and William to come and help him. And as they prepare to do that, and let's move on to the Torah procession. Micha Mocha.
Micha Mocha Nedar Bar Kodesh Nora Tehilo
Malchutcha malchut ko olamim u'mimsheltecha b'chol dor v'dor. Adonai melech, Adonai malach, Adonai imloch le'olam va'ed, Adonai oz li'amo yitain, Adonai yivarech et amo b'shalom.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
There is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give
strength to his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. What an honor and blessing and joy it is to carry the Torah and to kiss the Torah, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't it just, it's you know, just reaching out and kissing the Word of God. You know, we don't worship the Word, we worship the God of the Word. But it's just something special about it. It's exciting, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Vayehiben so Aaron vayomer Moshe kuma Adonai viyafutsu oivecha viyanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion tetze Torah ki mitzion tetze Torah hudvar Adonai miYerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah. Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah. Liamo Yisrael, Bikdu Shato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Please be seated. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch hu et Adonai hamavorach, Baruch Adonai Rachilam Vahed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Bani Mikol Hamim, Benatan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples, and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Okay, you can be seated. Just a couple comments here on Jewish history. But today, November the 9th, 1938, the Third Reich began what was called a pogrom, which is a organized violent right to massacre the Jewish race. And it was called Kristallnacht, and it lasted, it means broken glass or the nine of broken glass, and it lasted to the 11th of November, and basically Jewish businesses and homes and families were attacked, because that's when the Nazi regime in Germany began a separation of people. You were either Aryan or you were non-Aryan. There was no in-between. You either or. So they began to attack the Jewish nation, and it led, or Jewish people, and it was the start actually of the era that we know, that we call Holocaust. That's when it, and Holocaust in German means to burn something. So I guess we can relate to how that name got acquainted with the disaster, with that horrible thing that happened. But today's Torah portion is Lech Lecha, and I don't think you'll find, it means to go to yourself or for yourself and to seek. But I don't think you'll find any two more powerful words in all of the Torah than those two words there, Lech Lecha. And of course, God is speaking to Avram, which later became Abraham, Avinu. And I think today God is speaking the same thing to us, Lech Lecha. He's telling us to go for yourself and seek him, and he will, and you will find him, and he will come and be a part of you. You see, God is calling each of us today, as he did Abraham thousands of years ago. He calls us to be courageous. He calls us to be strong. He calls us to believe the fact that life does matter, and also that we are to bring a blessing and a witness to those that we encounter on a day-to-day basis. You see, this parasha is actually started a little bit last week with the introduction of Aram, but his name later was changed when the covenant was established. to Abraham Avinu, but he grew up in a very horrible place where he was living, and everything worshipped the idols that were there. His father was an idol maker, and of course Abraham got in trouble. I'm just going to go ahead and say Abraham. He got in trouble with his dad because he destroyed the idols, because the idols were not flesh and bone. They were not. They were made out of wood and stone. There wasn't anything that you could speak to or physically, other than just physically see them. There was no interaction. And so that's where Abraham got to thinking about the fact, could all of this be, could the whole concept of creation be done by all these different gods that they were worshiping? Basically, everything was a god. The water, fish, birds, animals, the stars, everything was an idol. So he began to, I would say, think about how could all these different gods come together and make all this? And he came to the conclusion that there couldn't be but one God that could do all that. And so Abraham began to ponder on the one and only God. And so God appears to him, and he calls him. At this time, of course, Abraham was married to Sarah. They did not have any children. I think they were probably in their 70s, 80s, somewhere there. But God begins to speak to Abraham, and in doing so, he begins to map Abraham's future and his destiny. You see, Abraham found that there is one true God who created everything that we see today. And God gives him an instruction. He says, Abraham, leave your... Because he lived with his father, and his family, his wife, and his possessions were there with his father. And so he tells him to leave his father's household, take your family, your wife, and take your possessions, and go, like Laka, go to the place that I will show you. And of course, that was the land of Canaan, which was the land of Israel. So Abraham prepares, and he leaves Ur of the Chaldees, but he makes one mistake. Even out the door, he doesn't obey God, because he took his cousin or his nephew Lot with him. And God said, don't just take your possessions, your wife and your cattle, what you have, but don't take anything else with you. But he took his nephew with him. And so, you know, and so there's quite a lengthy story about what happens. But, you know, Abraham is a man who was, he's actually a friend and a citizen of God. All the blessings of the world come through Abraham. And at the age of 99, God begins to speak to him about the covenant. And at the age of 99, Abraham and his household were circumcised. And that's called a bris in Hebrew. It's interesting to note with the circumcision that the gematria for a bris is 612. It's interesting because there are 613 mitzvahs. So I got to checking into, and I realized, well, when a child, when a little boy, is, a baby boy is born 8 days later, he goes through the covenant or the circumcision of the bris, and that's the first covenant that the child actually partakes and actually fulfills, because he receives the circumcision. So I think that's why God says bris is 612, because you've already did the one by following the covenant of the circumcision or the bris. And we see, you know, if hope you read this today, there's a whole lot in this particular parasha today. But in chapter 12, we see that God begins to tell Abraham about the eight blessings that he's going to bestow upon Abraham. And you see, I think you could call, I know he's called the father of the faith and all that, but I think we could say he's the first, maybe convert to God when he's there in Ur of the Chaldees. And God tells him these things. He says, I will make you a great nation. And he says, your name will be great, and you will be a blessing to the whole world. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will bless those who curse you. And he says, I will curse those. Well, I just said I will curse those that curse you. All of the earth will be blessed because you are Abraham, and I will bless you. And to your descendants, I will give this land, the land of Canaan. And that is where Abraham exercised that truth, and he followed the responsibility, because everything in this world is a blessing through Israel and through the Jewish people and through Abraham. He is a blessing to the whole world. But Abraham went to Egypt because there was a famine. I'm jumping back just a little bit. And he gets into a little trouble down there because he tells Pharaoh that his wife is really his sister. She's a very attractive lady. So Pharaoh takes her into his palace where he's living, and he begins to have a lot of trouble and sorrow. And so Abraham owns up to the fact that Sarah is actually his wife and not his sister. So he asks him to leave. And like I always say, on the way out of town, he says, I'm going to give you a gift. And he gave him Hagar. And that's another story for another time. But he gives him Hagar on the way out of town. And so he takes her. I think the reason the Pharaoh had such a hard time dealing with her being in his house, because he wanted her for a wife or a concubine, whatever. But, you know, God holds marriage sacred. And adultery is a sin that leads to death. And God, even though we live in a new world today, or they think it's a new world, sin is still sin. It hadn't really changed. A lot of people say, well, you know, there's big sins, little sins. But God views sin as sin because it separates you from Him. So it doesn't matter what the sin is. As long as it's sin, you can't be it. God has to separate Himself. He has to be apart. And see, God has not changed His position on sin whatsoever. He's not changed His position on marriage. And God wants to make, when bad things happen, usually it's because God is trying to tell us something. He's trying to push us in a direction. You see, the marriage was not supposed to be defiled because God performed the first marriage during the Garden of Eden. So they go back to Israel. And, of course, his nephew Lot didn't really want to leave Egypt because he liked the attraction and all the food and the ability and the wealth. But he did attract quite a bit of wealth when he left. And so he goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. That would be that's another story. But Abraham, within this parasha, had to go and rescue Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah, from the kings that were there. They had taken him capture. So Abraham had to go and fight a battle with those kings. So I'm going to sort of close the Torah portion right there. You know, and on the way back, he meets the king of Salem, Melchizedek, and he pays the tithe. And, of course, Melchizedek, I believe, is a shadow, or it could have been Yeshua, because it said he was the king of righteousness. And they partook of the bread and the fruit of the vine there. And so Abraham journeyed back to Israel, and then we'll get more into what actually transpires in the next parasha, which is Vayera, which will be next week. So that will close this parasha for today. Shabbat Shalom.
Vizot
HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei B'nei Israel Al Pi Adonai B'Yad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Thank you, Anthony.
Zikimah,
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her.
And all who uphold her are blessed.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. Test 1, 2. Okay. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
How's everybody?
Amen.
Alive?
Yes.
Alive and kicking?
Yes. Alive kicking? And taking ground.
Hopefully you're not you're alive and kicking and not just kicking.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I'm alive and taking back ground. The enemy stole.
Amen. Terry's alive and taking back ground. I'm taking a little ringy dingy up here. But he's taking ground and I'm taking ringy dingy. But anyway, I'm Rabbi Joe, and I've been the rabbi in these parts for 20 years. I'm the only rabbi in these parts that's a real rabbi, because I'm a rabbi for Jesus.
Amen.
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 There is no other rabbi in these parts. Ordained, anointed, appointed, laid hands on, with poured oil on, sent out by 12 other rabbis, trained and discipled, traveled the world and sent out and brought here by God and plopped in this place, a place I never would have picked. That's how I know that God brought me here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But I'm happy to be here. And I'm real happy to be here because I see the world going to crazy places. I'd say somewhere in a handbasket, but I just won't say it today. Amen?
Amen.
But the world is going nuts around us, and I thank God I live in the state of Tennessee. I thank God that Tennessee voted against abortion. I thank God that I can preach the Word of God. I thank God that there's still sanity in parts of the United States. I thank God that some states still choose life, but there's a battle going on, people, and states are flipping. And the state next door to Tennessee flipped just last week. In case you didn't know it, it flipped from purple, from half red, half blue, to pretty much the folks up north. You have all the folks in coal country in the Southwest, down from Roanoke on down. We're mostly Republican, and the folks up north in the cities and Falls Church and Alexandria and what's another town up there?
Culpeper,
but there's another big city outside of Washington. Alexandria, Falls Church. No. Richmond, too. You might as well include Richmond. But I'm talking right around Washington. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Washington, D.C. itself. But the point is that it's flipped. This state is flipped blue. And they're already threatening all the things they want to do to, change, all the changes they want to make at the state level. And can you imagine, just think about this. If you have a concealed gun carry permit on the Tennessee side, and then you drive up the road in Tennessee and come back on the Virginia side, they can stop you and arrest you if they do away with concealed or even open carry. They could stop you and arrest you somewhere, or if you're going to get on the highway, they can pull you over and you get yourself in trouble. You got to go to Virginia to go to the highway, practically, unless you drive this strange route down to Tennessee, to the Tennessee side, to get on. I mean, it's crazy. This is nuts. It's going to be nuts. Things are going to happen, and we're seeing Bristol, Virginia is falling apart. The government is in debt. It's just the cost of living is exorbitant, the electric bills and things like that, the rents, the taxes are high, and people are moving out of Southwest Virginia, and Bristol, Virginia is selling like hotcakes. Houses prices are going up, up, up. They're selling, and houses are selling in 5-10 days. We looked at a house, you know, to move. We were looking at moving. We looked at a house. It went on the market. We've been eyeing it for 10 years, and it sold in one day. Its first day, it sold. Went on the market, and it was sold. And I mean, you know, that's Tennessee. Is people are just buying it up. And so anyway, but that's not what I want to really focus on right now. I want to focus on good things. And we're gonna have Deborah Klein Iantorno here, or as we said last time, Deborah Klein and her husband Vince or Iantorno. Iantorno. Deborah Klein and Iantorno are having Deborah Klein and Iantorno and her husband Vince are coming next week to minister to us. Amen. Everybody like Deborah Klein? Amen. We're going to have some dancing next week. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have we traditionally have a Thanksgiving meal. We didn't have one last year because of the floods, but this year we've got a brand new water heater. I went out and purchased one last week. We had donations came in because I mentioned it and spoke about it in the newsletter. People donated for our water heater. I bought a new one and arranged for a man to come and hook it up. And William met him and took care of that. And we got a brand new big water heater, not 6 gallons. This is 38 gallons. So that ought to be enough water. Amen. So we got a new air conditioner in our fellowship hall recently, and we've got a new water heater. And next week we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner, and we're inviting by RSVP. We invite you to come. If you're watching online and you're in this area, we invite you to come. I'm calling it a homecoming Thanksgiving for former attendees of this congregation are welcome to come to our Thanksgiving service with Deborah Klein Iantorno. And hear her in concert. If you've never heard Deborah, she's a treat. Then we'll follow that with a Thanksgiving meal. So it's a first. We never had a homecoming, so I'm inviting former people to come back and with a right heart to come back. People with a right heart to come back here and worship with us and eat. You know, partake of the Thanksgiving meal with us, and all we ask is that you call us or email us this week and let us know. Preferably call us. Phone numbers on our newsletters. It's on our website, www.forzion'ssake.org. If you're watching, you're on our website, so our phone number's right there. You just go to contact, and you'll get our information. Please call us and let us know you're coming. And how many people, so that we know how much food to make. And if you have friends and you want to bring friends, let us know. Glad to have your friends and family come. Folks here in the room, not folks who attend. You know, if you want to bring friends, you know, we're glad to have your friends come or your family. And so it's gonna have a great time next week. I'm excited. And Rebbitzin Dawn is taking her final test this week. She's leaving today. She was very sad. She came back Thursday night. She got to sleep in one day, and then they called her back to work today. And she flew three legs from Canton, Ohio to get here Thursday night. She flew all day from Canton to Newark, from Newark to Charlotte, and Charlotte to Bristol. She got in Thursday night exhausted. And she slept about 12:30 yesterday. She was exhausted, and then they called her back to work. She has a 7:45 a.m. flight tomorrow, so she's already at the airport. She's already gone. She's already flown out to Newark, back to Newark. But she didn't want to go. And Diane knows she was in tears last night. But she went, and I told her, I said, honey, you got to pass this, and you got to get it done. You got to finish it. And, I have to go through cancer treatment without her. It's been the second week in a row that I'm going through treatment without her. But I told her, I said, look, I'm tough. You're tough. You're going to make it. I'm going to make it. And my counts went up this week. My blood counts, went up. Amen. They went down last week, but they went up this week. It's praise the Lord. Yes. And they're going to keep going up. Amen. They're going to keep going up. And I'm just thrilled. And I praise God. And I praise God for his protection. I bind the enemy from attacking. In the name of Yeshua. So thank you all. And we're going to take up our tithes and offerings this morning. Any other pertinent announcements besides the Thanksgiving meal? And Deborah Klein, I and Turno next week. Any other announcements or praise reports? William? Yes, amen. I got you right there. William reminded me, I wanted to honor our veterans today, even though today isn't Veterans Day. We want to honor our veterans since we won't be here. So we'd like to ask all veterans in the room to stand up so we can honor them. And those at home, we honor you as well. And thank you for your service. Amen. You know, a funny little story. My dad was in the 85th Fighter Squadron, the 79th Fighter Group. Or the 85th Fighter Group, 79th Fighter Squadron. I'm not sure. I think it's the other way around. But anyway, in World War II, and their insignia, every group, every fighter squadron had its own insignia. And so my dad's group, the insignia of the 85th Fighter Group or Fighter Squadron, you can look it up online, the insignia of the 85th Fighter Squadron is the flying skulls. And it's a pretty scary thing. It's a skull with wings. And they used to put them on the airplanes, and they were bringing death to Hitler's boys. They sent Hitler's boys to hell, I'll tell you that, okay? And they defeated Rommel. They helped defeat Rommel, amen? And somebody questioned me as to why I would post that. Well, I said, it was a Jewish person. I said, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that insignia and those planes and those men. You wouldn't be here because there'd be no Jews. We'd all be under Nazi rule. The world would be under Nazi control. And if it wasn't for what they did in World War II, the United States coming into the war, I wouldn't be here. No, there wouldn't be no Jews. There wouldn't be no churches. There wouldn't be no Jesus. It would be a mess. So praise God for our veterans. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Okay.
Yes, dear.
I was going to wear my uniform today, but I thought it was kind of too early. I'll wear it tomorrow on Monday.
All right. Why don't you wear it on next Shabbat on Thanksgiving? Sure. Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Yes, but I changed the uniform now from what it used to
be. I won't tell. Okay, well, you know, it's a new world. It's a brave new world. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the offering today, and we just thank you, Lord, we have so many veterans here in this house today, and we thank you for their service. We thank you for all the veterans who've helped protect our freedom and stood guard and stood watch over us. I thank you, Lord, for our many in my own family have served and contributed to this country. And my nephew did 2 tours of duty in Iraq with the Marines and left a sergeant and the Marines. And thank you for his service, Lord. Just bless our veterans, Lord, especially those who are struggling with PTSD and other issues. Those who are struggling to get back into society, struggling to make ends meet, those who are homeless, Lord, we pray for them, that you provide for them, Lord. They gave us all. We need to give back to them, Lord. So we just thank you that we pray for them, Lord, and help us to be a blessing to them if we can through different things like Wounded Warrior Project and so forth. Hallelujah. And I thank you for our president, the commander in chief, who led the raid as the commander in chief and killed Baghdadi, the chief of the snake head of ISIS. He didn't just do it. It wasn't, in spite of him, as the news media said. He did do it. He led the U.S. military in the raid. He led it. He is the president, and he led the raid. And God bless President Trump and strengthen him and bless him, bless his family and protect him. We pray in the name of Yeshua. Now bless these tithes and offerings. And we pray your protection over our president and his family and his staff, Lord. We pray your protection over his life and that just supernatural protection from those who want to do him harm. And we just pray, Lord, that you keep him from harm and let those schemes and plots of the evil one come to nothing, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, bless this offering and these tithes. If you're watching today and you'd like to contribute, we welcome you. You're welcome to do so online securely with PayPal. And last week I offered a CD set. This week I'm going to offer one called, speaking of the presidents, called The Last President of the United States. It's a series I did in predicting a lot of, this is a prophetic message. It's three CDs. And for your suggested love gift of $35 or more, I'll send you this. And I tell you what, but you just got to let me know you want it. So when you give online, you've got to indicate, we need your address, because if you don't put it on PayPal, we won't know who you are. We can't receipt you. And if we don't know that you want the CD set, we can't send it to you. So give us your address and a phone number. We won't bother you. We're not going to telemarket you or give out your number. But we do need it in case there's a problem, with the mail or something. Anyway, God bless you. God bless you all as you give today. And praise God for his provision this week to our ministry to help us get a new water heater and other things. And I'm excited to see what the Lord's doing. Amen? Shalom. God bless you as you give. Thank you. Test 1, 2, buckle my shoe. Test 3, 4. Actually, I don't have buckles. I haven't had buckles on my shoes since I was probably 9 years old. I remember I did used to have buckles on a pair of shoes or two. Does anyone have buckles anymore? I'm actually, my doctor, he used to wear penny loafers. Now he wears Gucci penny loafers, and they have like a buckle. And he asked me if I knew what they were, and I said, no, they look like penny loafers with some kind of piece of metal on it. And he said they were Gucci. Gucci, Gucci, coo. He's a spiffy doctor. We won't name his name. If I have to tell you, I don't think I have to tell you. I sent you to him. So anyway, all right, let's worship the Lord. Anybody want to worship the Lord today?
Amen.
All right. As my friend Rabbi Peter would say, we're going to worship Adonai. Yeah, I don't know if it's New York or Rhode Island or Portuguese or what. But he says, we're going to worship Adonai. Adonai. All right, let's go. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. We offer up our lives as a living sacrifice. Purify us with your holy fire. You are the Holy One, highly exalted One. We come to worship at your holy hill. You are the Holy One, highly exalted One, and we surrender to your sovereign will, O Lord God of Abraham. Verse 2. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. Who is God? He is God. Come now and fill this place. Be exalted in our praise. Let it be known today that you are God. You are God. You are the Holy One, highly exalted One. We've come to worship at your holy hill. You are the Holy One, highly exalted One, and we surrender to your sovereign will, O Lord God of Abraham. For the Lord, He is God. For the Lord, He is God. And he shall reign forevermore, evermore. For the Lord, he is God. For the Lord, he is God. And he shall reign forevermore. You are the Holy One, highly exalted One. We've come to worship at your holy hill. You are the Holy One, highly exalted Lord, come surrender to your sovereign will. Lord God of Abraham, you are the Holy One, highly exalted One. We've come to worship at your holy hill. You are the Holy One, highly exalted One, and we surrender to your sovereign will. O Lord God of Abraham, O Lord God of Abraham, O Lord God of Abraham.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we're going to sing Adonai.
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 No, no. There's no O in that. It's Adonai.
Adonai.
Lord, Lord of eternity, mystery behind the veil, Lord over heaven and earth, God of Israel. Come with your wisdom and power, clothed with your honor and strength. Lord, hear the cry of our hearts, come, O conquering King. And every eye will see your glory fill the sky. Adonai, Adonai. Every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God. Every tongue will cry, Adonai. Here Jerusalem waits, praises lifted on high. Follow me. Hear the beautiful gates, long to see you arise.
Arise!
When all of Zion sings, Baruch Haba Hashem. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry, Adonai. You are Lord over all the earth, you are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth, you are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth.
Shout it!
You are Lord over all the earth. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to the Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai,
alone,
our God, every tongue will cry, Adonai. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to the Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, every tongue, our God, every tongue will cry, Adonai.
You are holy, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Why should I be afraid? Amen. Fear not. Lord says it so many times. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. He also says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. And then he says, he who keeps his mind stayed on thee, you will keep in perfect peace.
Amen.
Amen. You will keep in perfect peace, he who keeps his mind stayed on thee. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? Whoa, whoa, whoa. 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 The Lord is my strength and my strong tower. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my strength and my strong tower. Why should I be afraid? Whoa, whoa, whoa. 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 Whoa, whoa.
More guitar, please.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. He will hide me in his sanctuary in the day of war. And I will stand and see the victory, for the battle is the Lord's. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. My help in times of trouble. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my help in times of trouble. Why should I be afraid? Whoa, whoa, whoa. 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 Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Shout the victory.
Victory.
Hallelujah.
Shout.
Whoa.
Come on, you're not shouting. Shout.
Hallelujah.
Shout.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Whoa,
raise,
whoa,
the,
whoa.
Raise the victory.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
What's that?
Yeah, maybe you can get him dancing. There's a good dance song coming up here. Okay, any ladies would dance?
Rabbi, can I say something?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody here, let go of those inhibitions you got. Let them down. Let them walls down, them distractions down that God's put over you. And just that the enemy's put over you, and let the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kodesh, come over you right now. He's here. Just let him in. Open your doors. Let him in. And just remember this. There's a scripture real quick. Jeremiah says, "For I know your plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you future and hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord.
Amen.
And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations in the place where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. So get up, because you got something to pray about and praise God about.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Preaching my sermon today.
Hallelujah.
Let's have some dance here. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. I call to you, Lord, for help, and you healed me. I will rejoice in the morning, at noon, and at night, for you have shown mercy to me. I will dance. You have shown mercy to me. My heart will sing. You have shown mercy to me. Fill me with joy, joy, joy. You have shown mercy to me. You have shown mercy to me. Exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. I call to you, Lord, for help, and you heal me. I will rejoice in the morning, at noon, and at night, for you have shown shroud, and now I'm clothed with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent.
Hallelujah.
For you have shown mercy
to me.
So I will dance. You have shown mercy to me. Will sing. You have shown mercy to me. Fill me with joy, joy, joy. You have shown mercy to me. You have shown mercy to me. You have shown mercy to me. To me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Let's keep going. Dance with them.
Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Heaven's mercy seat.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation
I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb of God.
Just going to be me and Terry. Me and Terry. Just me and Terry. Hallelujah. Fade it out. Fade it out. No. There is none like you. Play it.
Hold on.
The song. There is none like you. No one else could touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Your mercy flows like a river wide, and healing comes from your hands. Suffering children are safe in your arms. There is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Amen. Lord, take up your holy throne.
Yes, Lord.
Okay. Lord, Lord, take up your holy throne deep within my heart. Take the place that is yours alone deep within my heart. And of the increase of your government there shall be no end. There shall be no end. There shall be no end. You are worthy, Lord, to reign. Let the Lord take up his throne in your heart. Lord, take up your holy throne throughout all this land. Take the place that is yours alone throughout all this land. And of the of your government there shall be no end. There shall be no end. There shall be no end. You are worthy, Lord, to reign. Lord, take up your holy throne throughout all this earth. Take the place that is yours alone throughout all the earth. And of the of your government there shall be no end. There shall be no end. There shall be no end. You are worthy, Lord, to place that is yours alone, deep within my heart, and of the increase of your government, there shall be no end, there shall be no end, there shall be no end. You are worthy, Lord, to reign. You are worthy, Lord.
Holy is your name, Lord.
You are worthy, Lord, to reign.
Holy, worthy, Lord.
You are worthy, Lord.
King of kings and Lord of lords.
You are worthy, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
To reign.
We lift you up in the sanctuary, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord, to reign. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord, to reign. Blessing and honor and glory and power,
your power
be unto your name, Lord.
We worship you, Lord.
Blessing and honor and glory and power, be unto your name, Lord.
Lift us high above the earth.
You are worthy, Lord.
And let us see you, Lord.
You are worthy, Lord, to reign.
Speak to hearts, Lord.
Reign over us.
Speak to our minds, Father.
Reign over us,
cleanse and purify
us,
our bodies and our thoughts, Lord.
Reign
touch
over
us,
Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord. Heal us, Lord.
Reach reign over us, Lord.
And change those things that need to be changed.
Reign
Hallelujah.
Over us, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. You
reign over us, Lord.
Praise your name, Jesus. Yeshua.
Reign over us.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise your name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, thank you. Rabbi.
Hallelujah.
Rabbi, I've got a word. For a cry is going out on the nations. Seek ye while I may be found. Call on me in the day of distress, and I'll be there. For I am El Shaddai. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I am here. I am here for you now. Whatever you need, open your arms, raise your hands, and cry out to me, and I will answer you. My God's a consuming fire. These days are wicked. But take faith and safety to know that I am your God and I will save and direct you and keep you no matter what. 10,000 may fall at your right or your left, but go forward in the strength, in the power, in the resurrection, and walking in my authority. For I have chosen you this day. Go out and do the things I've called you to do. Do not hesitate, for this is the day for your anointing.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Good word. That's a good word. You guys are preaching my sermon today. We'll still have to preach. Hallelujah. We're going to go, can you turn my mic up a little bit, please? We're going to go to the Lord's table, and if you're watching, if you have some matzah or crackers, and you'd like to join us, if you have some grape juice or Manischewitz, Carmel, and I'm going to ask Deborah and Anna if you'll serve today, Eddie, if you'll hand, if you'll help the ladies and give that to them and let them serve when they're ready. Thank you, Jacob. And thank you, Lord. So folks at home, if you'd like to join us, we're ready for you ladies to serve. Yeah. Thank you. Eddie's helping you. Jacob's helping you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so please feel free to join us at home as we come to the Lord's table. And I'm going to bless the elements. Thank you, Lord.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine, and Yeshua the Messiah, who said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bear much fruit. Then he took the bread and he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. It was Passover night when Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, taken at every Passover meal. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. On that same night, he took the bread eaten after the meal. We call it afikomen. And it's broken in small pieces at every Jewish Passover for thousands of years. And he took that afikomen, that little piece of matzah, of unleavened bread, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. All right. Well, we invite all believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, to come to the Lord's table. The table of the Lord, the Shulchan Adonai, where his, which represents his body and his blood, represents, I said, it's not his body and his blood, it represents it. He died 2,000 years ago, he was crucified, and he rose, he ascended, his body's in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God, so it can't be on the table. But it represents it, right?
Amen.
So we invite you to join, all believers to join us. Paul says, do not come to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. What does that mean, an unworthy manner? To me, what the Lord has shown me is an unworthy manner is if you don't believe. If you don't believe that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he was buried 3 days and three nights, and that he rose from the dead on the third day. If you don't believe that and and allow him to be your Lord, if God hasn't revealed his Son to you, he wants to do that right now. And so if you'd like to meet the Messiah, just raise your hand. If there's anyone here, or anyone watching on at home, if you'd like to meet the Messiah, just raise your hand right now and I'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand if you're watching. I don't care if you're in your car, I don't care if you're in your living room, your bedroom, wherever you are, you can just raise your hand and pray with me. Just, it's not what you say as much as is what's in your heart. But just pray this prayer. Dear God, I have messed up. I have broken your laws. Heck, I don't even know what your laws are. I don't even know all your laws. And I confess it. I confess that I don't know 300 of your laws or your commandments, Lord. But Lord, I'm willing to admit it today that I have not kept all your commandments and all your ordinances and all your statutes. So I ask that you forgive me because your standard is perfection. Forgive me, God. Your standard is perfection, and I'm not perfect. So come into my heart, Yeshua. Circumcise my heart.
you circumcise my heart. You know, we the outward circumcision was of the flesh, but the inward one, we can't circumcise. I can't get in there and cut my heart. Only a heart surgeon can, or a member of some Honduran gang. But we can't. Only God circumcises our heart. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so God circumcise our hearts today and forgive our sins and come into my life and be my Lord. In Yeshua's name, be my Messiah now and forever. Amen and amen. Yes, the next step, if you got saved today, is...
Baptism, death, sight, Peter.
Baptism what?
Baptism, death, sight, Peter. John 3:5. Jesus said, unless you...
Yeah, get baptized. Get baptized. But if you just got saved today and you don't understand what you did, I have a gift for you, so please contact me, and I have a special gift for you about being a new believer, and so please contact me, and I'll send you that gift. And just there's online, you can get in touch with me, email, private message me, call me, whatever way you want. Okay, friends, prepare your hearts and come as you're ready. If you have sin to confess, this is a good time to confess it. And come as you're ready, okay? God bless you as you do. I'm going to turn off the bass amp, okay? Do we have a song?
Sweet, sweet, sweet presence is here. The sweet, sweet, sweet presence of Adonai. The sweet, sweet, sweet presence is here. Thank you.
sorry.
I was in the Spirit of the Lord today.
Amen. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Did you get served? Josh, can you help me? Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Okay. All right, let's pray. Diane, I'll tell you when to turn that on. And Anthony and Terry about preached my message today, so I guess I won't have much to say. Hallelujah. Amen. Now all of a sudden I'm a little loud. But a little ringy dingy. A little wingy dingy dingy. Wingy dingy do.
We love you.
Wingy dingy do. Test 1, 2. Maybe just a little more. Just a hair. I know it's. Test 1, 2. That's good, I guess. That sounds good. Yeah. All right. Okay. So, Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for this message today, the greatest commandment and the blessing of keeping it. And thank you, Lord, that you direct my words of my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing, acceptable in your sight. And just bring forth your message now and bind the enemy. In the name of Yeshua, let the word go forth where it's meant to be. Let it go out from this room to whoever it's supposed to be spoken to. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Okay, are we on there? All right. Praise the Lord. Well, today's message, again, as I said, is the greatest commandment and the blessing of keeping it. The greatest commandment and the blessing of keeping it. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of blessings in the Word of God. Amen. There's a lot of blessings that God talks about. And there's also a lot of curses, amen? We're going to talk about the greatest commandment. We speak it every week. And but do we do it? Do we do that commandment that we speak every week, we say it every week, and do we actually follow it? Do we actually, you know, Terry just exhorted you to do it, and Anthony taught on it, and the question is, do we actually do it? Amen? So what is the greatest commandment? Well, each week we chant the Shema and the V'ahavta. For those who don't know what the Shema and the V'ahavta are, Yeshua quoted them in Mark 12, 28 through 34. So I'm going to read them to you. Mark 12, 28 through 34. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, recognizing that he had answered them well. Asked him what commandment, he asked Yeshua, what commandment is the foremost of all, the most important commandment, the greatest? And Yeshua answered, the foremost or the greatest is Hear, O Israel, Shema Israel, the Lord our God is one. Shema Israel Adonai Echad. That's what Yeshua said is the greatest commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And he followed it up and said in verse 30 of Mark 12, verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha. We say that every week. V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Amen? We say it every week.
Yes, amen?
Amen? And there's a reason we say it. It's the greatest. Everybody say it. It's the greatest. There was a boxer years ago named Muhammad Ali. And he'd say, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. There ain't no greater than me. Muhammad Ali. You know, remember Muhammad Ali? He was more fun just to listen to. He was as much fun to listen to as he was to box, until he got his head turned into rubber or jelly or whatever they did to him. But he was a character, and he was, you know, many of us grew up or were remember in our younger days listening to Muhammad Ali. And this is Howard Cosell live at the Muhammad Ali Leon Spinks fight. Who remembers Howard Cosell? What's that?
Leon Spinks,
yeah. That's the only one I remember. We're here at the Thriller in Manila. This is Howard Cosell, live on ABC Sports. Okay, each week we chant the Shema and the V'yahavta. For those who don't know what the Shema and the V'yahavta are, I just said it, and it says it right here. It's Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord. By the way, welcome folks on Facebook. We're glad you're joining us today. God bless you. Let's all say hi to the folks on Facebook.
Hi.
Welcome. Shalom, Facebook friends. We're glad you're with us. Amen. So the Shema is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We say it every week. And the V'yahavta, we say every week, is, And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second commandment, greatest one, the Lord goes on to say, is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Two greatest commandments, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our soul, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Amen? To love our neighbor as ourself. That's very hard to do. Well, first of all, you got to figure out who your neighbor is. And really, your neighbor is anybody that, any person that God puts in your path, any person that God puts in your path that needs help. Amen? And if you're able to help them, you know, I don't like to give cash to drug users or alcoholics. And there's more jobs in this country than there are people. So there isn't much reason that people standing at the edge of a highway with a sign saying looking for work can't get a job unless they've got something, they've got an addiction usually. You know, and
I think you should give to whoever asks for it.
I'm going to say that there's a reason I don't give cash. I try not to give cash because I've given cash several times to people who bought drugs, said they needed it for. They've bought drugs or alcohol. I've seen them go right into a liquor store. So. Jacob, please. This is my turn to speak. Please honor that. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. So, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God. So. Anyway, but we help your neighbor. You know, I once saw a lady lying in a gutter in a rainstorm in New York City. I saw somebody give her an umbrella. Amen. I saw somebody take their umbrella and give it to the lady in the gutter who was soaking wet, and they gave her their umbrella, and they went off to a store and bought another one. Amen? Okay? They saw the need for their neighbor. They loved their neighbor more than themselves. They were willing to get wet so that this poor lady in New York City could get dry. Amen? They were willing to get wet so that she could be dry. And so what the need is, if it's hunger, you know, if somebody's hungry, give them, I believe in giving them food. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. If you want to give money, that's your decision, your money. It's not. This is, I'm just telling you what I do. Amen. And my that's all. So we'll leave it there. That's not where I want to focus completely on. You know, we got a little bit ways to go. So let's go on. But interestingly, both of those commandments are in the Old Testament. Loving your neighbor as yourself comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. It's not a new commandment in the New Testament. Do you know 2/3 of the New Testament was when Jesus quoted the scripture in the New Testament, he was quoting the Old Testament. Did you know that? All the scripture quoted. A lady wrote me a letter last week, and she said to me, and God bless her, she said to me, it's a good question she asked. She said in Colossians 2, I think it is, it talks about, do not judge someone because they celebrate a new moon or a feast or a Sabbath day. Do not judge them. And she had trouble with non-Jews celebrating Jewish holidays. Well, there were no other holidays in those days. When Paul wrote Colossians, there was no Easter, there was no Christmas. So it wasn't saying do not judge somebody because they celebrate Easter or Christmas. It was saying do not judge anybody, a Gentile or a Jew, because they celebrate a new moon, which is the beginning of a Jewish month. Peter Cottontail. Do not judge somebody because they keep a Sabbath. Do not judge somebody because they keep Sukkot or Rosh Hashanah. Amen? You know, Jewish holidays. That's what Paul was talking about. He was saying, do not judge a Gentile or a Jew or anybody because they celebrate a Jewish feast. Because there was no Catholic Church when Paul wrote the book. There was no Pope in 60-65 AD, amen, when he wrote Colossians, or in the 50 AD, whenever he wrote it, you know what I'm saying? There was no Catholic Church. There was no Easter. There was no Christmas. There was no Advent. There was no, you know, any of that stuff. There wasn't no Halloween. There was no, you know, it was all just in Israel. And Paul, it was just Jewish holidays. Amen? So when it says in Colossians, you know, Paul's saying, you know, don't judge somebody if they celebrate a Jewish feast. He's saying, let a Gentile celebrate. But the point was to do it with the Jews. Because where did you go? James said in Acts 15, he said, if you want Moses, go to the synagogue. If you want Moses, go to the synagogue. James said, Gentiles can have fellowship with the Jews if they avoid strangled food, they have food sacrificed to idols, if they avoid fornication, if they avoid eating blood, okay? No vampires. Avoid eating blood. Avoid eating blood and meat, okay? Just avoid eating blood. And if they did that, those are the four basic rules that in order for Gentiles to have fellowship with the Jews, that's all they had to keep. But he goes on, for Moses is preached in every city, there's a synagogue. So if you want Moses, if you want more, if you want to go deeper, come to the synagogue. Amen. And that's what he was saying to him. Amen? Amen? There was always a court of the Gentiles in the synagogue, amen, and in the temple. If you read in Acts, what were all those Gentiles doing in Acts chapter 2 at the temple? What were they doing there? They were celebrating a Jewish feast of Moses. Amen? Thank you, sir. They were celebrating a Jewish feast of Moses, you know, it wasn't some new holiday. That Christians created a holiday called Pentecost as the birth of the church, which was a new interpretation of the holiday. It was actually the pouring of the Spirit, and it was the birth of the Gentile revival. Pentecost was, you might say, was the birth of the revival of the Gentiles. It might have been the beginning of the age of the Gentiles. I don't think that the people in Jerusalem were thinking, okay, we're going to start a church here. Honestly, I don't think Peter was thinking that. I don't think that anybody that was there that day was thinking, let's start a church. It just didn't exist. It wasn't there. They were there, and the Holy Spirit fell. They got saved, Jew and Gentile. 3,000 were added and baptized that day. Amen. You know, 3,000 were added and baptized. Amen. It was a Jewish feast. So God wants us to do it together. Okay, let's go on. So as I said, in Mark 12, this Sadducee or Pharisee says to the Lord the two greatest commandments, and Yeshua says to him, this is what he says to him. He says, Yeshua saw that he answered wisely, and he said, you are not far from the kingdom of God yourself. And the guy freaked out. And, says the scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, God is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all the heart and understanding, with all the strength, and all love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Yeshua saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. Because, this guy realized, he was getting close to the stove, right? The stove is hot, and he was getting close to it. All right, let's go on. As I said, we read this every week. We read the Via Hafta and the Shema every week. But do we really consider what it means and what will happen when we are... hallelujah. I can't read what I wrote. But most Christians tithe, many because they know God's promises to open the windows of heaven. Amen. Many Christians tithe because they know God's promises to open the windows of heaven and to pour out a huge blessing and to rebuke the devourer. So we give, many believers and Christians and Messianics give, partly out of obedience, but partly because we want to be blessed. We know that God says if we tithe, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain. We also know that if we tithe, he says he'll rebuke the devourer, Malachi 3, 8, 9, and so forth. So many people tithe out of obedience and believing and hoping that God's going to bless them, for being obedient to do that. Amen? I've rarely seen a believer who does not tithe who is blessed. And that's a fact. I've rarely seen a believer who does not tithe who's blessed.
Amen!
Amen. That's a good one. Praise the Lord. I just haven't seen it. I see believers and they don't tithe. And what I find, and most of the people that I know, and I know a lot because I've run businesses in this town, I've had many employees who call themselves Christians, and they don't tithe, they don't go to church, they don't go to synagogue, they don't follow God, and their lives demonstrate it. They live paycheck to paycheck. Sometimes they fall through the net. They lose their cars. I've seen them lose. It's like a country music song. They lose their car. They lose their dog. They lose their apartment. They shack up with people. They don't obey God's word, and they're not blessed. And they're not blessed because they don't follow God and follow the things that He teaches. But my sermon isn't about tithing today. What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart? And Terry was talking about it. He was crying out to you. He was crying out prophetically. He was crying out that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and give Him everything we have before. That's what he was saying, and Anthony mentioned it in his message. What does it mean to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength? Well, number one, first, you must know the Lord. How can you love somebody with such devotion and passion if you don't know them? How can you love, you know, I'm married, I met my wife, I fell in love with her, and 10 months later we were married. But if I didn't get to know her, as many of you have been married, if I didn't get to know her, I couldn't fall in love with her. Amen? You can't, you know, some folks are single, and maybe there's a person out there for you. Maybe there's a companion. I don't know. You know, I'm not God. But I just know this. Unless you meet them, you may not be looking, but unless you meet them, you can't fall in love with them, can you, right? Does that only make sense, right? You got to meet them to fall in love. Now, you can love from a distance and think that you love somebody. You know, you can see a beautiful person in Hollywood or a model and say, wow, you know, when I was a kid, I had a pet poster of Farrah Fawcett on my wall when I was about 10 years old, you know. I had a picture poster of Farrah Fawcett smiling at me on my wall. I felt something in my heart. I don't know what it was at 10 years old, but that was the first poster I had on my wall. I'm admitting this. I wasn't a believer, but I didn't love Farrah Fawcett. I was attracted to outward beauty, and I didn't know Farrah Fawcett. I never met Farrah Fawcett, and I fell out of love when the poster came down when I was 13 or 14. And I got over it. Everybody say, I got over it. Amen. At the end, I'll hold on to it. Or just, okay, let me finish these things. All right, number two. So if you don't know somebody, first you got to know them. So how can you love God if you don't know God? How can you love God if you don't know God? If you can't love a person if you don't know them. How can you love God if you don't know God? Amen? And the only way we can know Him is through His Son. When we seek, and I'm going to read that scripture that Terry read in a little bit in Jeremiah. If we, you know, about seeking God, we're going to get to it, okay? But you got to seek Him, and we're going to talk about that. Number two, growing up Jewish, we made mention of God, but I was often told that God is too great and awesome to know Him, that He's busy creating stuff and solving world hunger and making world peace to deal with me. Kind of like the Wizard of Oz, my view of God as a child was, or as a young person, was like the Wizard of Oz. I am Oz, the great and terrible. Nobody really knew Oz until the dog went under the curtain and exposed him. Amen? That he was a fraud. Now, Oz isn't God, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying he was meant to be a God-type figure, the all-powerful. He even says it. I am Oz, the great and terrible. Well, God, the Bible says that God is great and wonderful. It also says that God is a terrible God. What does it mean by terrible? He's scary. That he can be very scary. He's a frightful God when he wants to be. When you see his anger and his judgment, you'll be hiding under a rock, the Bible says. So he would say, I am Oz, the great and terrible. Nobody really knew Oz. He was a legend, a myth, until he was exposed as a man. To know God is to have an encounter. Oh, my goodness. To know God is to have an encounter with the living God, with His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. To know God, I am not just talking about joining a church and calling yourself a Christian, or just being baptized, or even saying a simple prayer of salvation, although I've seen that work. I've seen people weep and cry after a prayer of salvation. Because the Bible says if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Yeshua is Lord, we will be saved. Amen? So when you pray with somebody and they confess in the prayer that Yeshua is Lord, amen, and they invite Him into their heart, they're confessing it. You're getting them to confess with their mouth. And that's part of believing, that you're confessing that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord. Yeshua hu Adonai. Amen? Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, I've seen, so prayer of salvation, I've seen that work, prayers of salvation for hundreds and hundreds of people, but I know that in some cases it didn't work. My job is just to plant seeds. My job isn't to harvest. I'm not the reaper. Okay? So don't fear me. I'm not the reaper, so don't fear me. My job is to sow seeds, and that's your job. We're seed sowers. Amen? Our job is to be seed sowers. We're not the reaper. We don't water the harvest. God does. Amen? So don't fear the reaper, baby. All right. Let's move on. What am I talking about? I don't know. I do know what I'm talking about. And what I believe God is talking about is the greatest commandment. Before I go on to that, I've seen the prayer of salvation work for hundreds and hundreds of people. But those who say it doesn't have probably never led a single convert, made a single convert in their life. People who say to me, prayers of salvation don't work. Well, you know how I got saved? In my bed, and I called upon the name of the Lord. I said, come into my heart. I was in my bed on Valentine's Day, 1996, and I was having an encounter in my bed with the living God. I didn't know what I was dying. And there was a presence in my room. It happened to be Jesus. And I called on the name of Jesus. I had been reading the New Testament, and I said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in. I'd already repented and confessed my sins a day or two earlier. I'd already gone through the repentance part. And I cried out to the Lord, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Amen? Amen. And he did. Yeah. And I had an encounter with God in my bed that night on Valentine's Day. And I woke up the next morning. I was changed. I had the peace, a peace like a river. Peace like a peace that surpasses all understanding. I've never had such a peace in my life. I didn't know what had happened to me that night. Amen? Nobody ever told me. I was 30, 29 years old. Nobody ever told me in Hebrew school, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I didn't know Jesus loved me until that night. Amen? And that night I felt His presence was as heavy and thick as peanut butter flooding my room. I mean, it was like a wave of peanut butter coming into my room. His presence just overwhelmed me and covered me. And he had me on flat on my back with my hands out, stretched out like the cross, and my legs out straight, and energy roaring through my limbs into my chest. And my heart was beating so fast and hard, I thought it was going to rip out of my chest. And I thought I was dying that night, and that's when I called on Jesus, because I didn't know who Yeshua was then. I just knew Jesus, and I'd been reading the New Testament, and I thought I was dying because I couldn't breathe before it happened, and I couldn't get to the phone, and there was no one there to help me. And I was later on, God showed me I was dying. I would have died if I didn't say yes to him that night. And now 24 years later, I'm still standing here. And still bearing fruit for God. Amen? Praise God. I had an encounter, a Damascus Road experience with God in my bedroom that night. Amen? And so what I'm talking about, and what I believe God is talking about, is the greatest commandment is this: you will seek me and find me. This is in my message, Terry. When you search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. Let's go there. Jeremiah 29, please. Now, Terry read, started in verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me. And see, this is how do you seek God? How do you have an encounter with the living God? He tells you right here. You will call upon me. Call upon me. Pray to me. And I will listen to you. Seek me. Knock. Call on me. Cry out to me. Seek me. Devote yourself to me. Set aside your, put your phones down. Turn the TV off. Get away alone from your family. Go away somewhere. If you have to, get in your car and drive out in the country. Go up to Conorock. Go up to White Top. Go, just get out, get away from the people, and cry out to the Lord. Go out in the forest. Go out in the woods. Go out with the bears and the squirrels and the deer. Cry out to God. Amen. Be real. And that he tells you right here, you will seek me, verse 13, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will here's the blessing. He says it. I will restore your fortunes. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Hello? He will restore you. We talk about tithing, and it says, if you tithe, if you bring all your whole tithe, he says in Malachi 3, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, into my house. What's God's house? What? The synagogue, the church. The house of the Lord. Yes, the house of prayer, but the house of the Lord. Isaiah 56, the house of the Lord. You can read it for yourself, but the point is, he says, bring it into my house so that there's food in my house to feed the people. Yeah. He says, bring the tithe into my house. He doesn't say, send the tithe. He says, send offerings. It's fine to get, he said, nothing wrong with sending offerings to Africa. China, you want to send offerings? China sends offerings to Israel. They support the Joseph Project. Amen? We send offerings. We've sent millions of dollars to the Joseph Project. Amen? But the tithe is for the Lord's house. The tithe is for the house of the Lord, for the work of the Lord. If we didn't have tithes, we couldn't pay the light bill. You have heat. You feel warm and comfortable, right? Hopefully you're warm enough. Amen? Yes, because we pay the heat bill. We bought a water heater. We're going to have Thanksgiving dinner next week here. Got a nice new water heater, so the ladies will be happy. And the men too, because I like hot water to wash my hands. And I'm glad we have a new water heater that's hooked up. I appreciate what William did by getting us a temporary fix. Now we have one that's, you know, if we ever decide to sell this building, it's hooked up to code. Amen? And it'll, you know, it's nice water heater. Now we're looking at getting one out here. That's my next project, is trying to get one, a water heater out here. Also want to get some cameras, some security lights. You know, they have those funky little lights out there with eyes. So we're going to get some of those outside on the building to see what's going on around us. Amen? Okay, let's go on. So God tells you, just like he says in Malachi, I will bring the whole tithe into my house and see if, test me in this, if I will not pour out a blessing too big to contain, and I will rebuke the devourer for you. Well, here he's saying, if you seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, Jeremiah 29:13, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes, and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. You know you've been exiled. You don't come from here. You may live here. You may have lived here for five generations, but you came from, your ancestors came from somewhere. You've been exiled here. It's for real. I was sent here 20 years ago. Your family, my wife's family, came here 230 years ago. Okay? They came 230 years ago. I came 20 years ago. But we all came from somewhere else. Amen? Amen. All right. So God promises to restore your fortunes if you find him. If you search for him, he says, and seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen. And we say it every week, via Havta, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We say it every week. I'm not just singing a song. I'm telling you how to restore your fortunes.
Amen.
I'm telling you how. I'm giving you the answer. God's telling you, and I'm telling you how to restore your fortunes, how to make aliyah, how to be blessed, how to bless your socks off.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. The greatest commandment. God's response is to bless your socks off. When you know God and you have an encounter, a touch from the living God, I'm going to tell you personally, He delivered me from a 7-year drug addiction when I met Him, the night I met Him. It was a prescription drug addiction, but it was a drug addiction nonetheless. The doctors had put me on. He delivered me from it 7 years, and I never took another one of those after that. He set me free, and that's not a drug that I was taking that you could just stop, but He made it. I never took it again, you know, and He delivered me from drug addiction. He healed me. He strengthened me. And I went out and served Him and went around the world and preached the gospel in thousands of churches to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. I've preached to hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds, maybe millions. I don't know. I can't even count. I've been around the world and I never dreamed. I dreamt of being in a rock band as a child, but God put me in a gospel band, a Jewish gospel band. And we made a CD and we traveled the world. We played for 3,000 students at Wheaton College. I got to live my dream as a guitar player and a singer for a band. I played in Liverpool, England. I told you this, but I'll tell it again to the folks listening. Played in Liverpool, England. I was a big Beatles fan as a kid. And I got to play at a church in Liverpool. And as I was setting up, we'd set up our sound system every day when we went to a church or a school. And we set up, and as I was setting up, one of our guests, our host at the church, an Englishman, said to me, "See that guy walking up the street? That's John Lennon's uncle." This was back in 1999. John Lennon's uncle was walking up the street. He was alive then. He's probably not alive now, but he was walking up the street. You know, that's pretty cool if you're a Beatles fan, right? See John Lennon's uncle walking up the street. You know, that was a kick for me to go to Liverpool, England, and to stand there in the town of Liverpool. And it's a big, I mean, talking about a busy town. It's probably population 400,000 people. It's massive. It's like a big city, and the people in the downtown during lunch hour and business hours flooding the streets. I mean, masses of people, and we were out passing out tracts. We sowed so many seeds and passed out so many gospel tracts to people, you know, and thousands. And I've had people come to me years later and said, "I got a gospel tract from you, and I got saved. I got one of your gospel tracts." I had several people have come to me and said, "I got saved because you handed me a gospel tract." If five people have said that to me, imagine how many people didn't know who I was, didn't tell me. I'll show you one afterward. I'll show you one. It basically is a tract that tells you about the Lord, and it causes you, when you read it, to interact. You read the gospel. The Bible says God's word doesn't return void, and so when the tract tells how that Yeshua, that Jesus is the Messiah and He's the Son of God, that He died for your sins and He rose from the dead on the third day, and encourages people to believe in Him, and it's an invitation to interact and to read the Bible. Is what it is. It's an invitation to interact, and it even offers, some of those tracts even ask people to pray to God and seek Him and ask Him to come into their lives. And people respond. Okay, so let's go on. So Terry, you know, spoke that word that I just said from Jeremiah 29. That's you know, God wants to have a deep, personal, intimate encounters with you. Say with me.
Amen.
He wants to be real to you and to demonstrate His great love for you and for me. But we must 1, focus our attention seeking Him. 2, spend intense time in prayer and praise to Him. Turn off the TV. Turn off the phone. And pray and spend time with Him. Go on prayer walks. I like to prayer walk. I like to talk to the Lord when I'm walking and praying. We had wonderful prayer Wednesday night here. We worshiped and we walked around the room singing to the Lord. And we had a great prayer meeting here Wednesday night. And so I encourage you to come out here and pray with us on Wednesday nights. Okay? God wants to have deep, personal, intimate encounters with you. He wants to be real and demonstrate His great love for you. You have to read His Word diligently. You can't just seeking Him also involves reading His Word, praying to Him. It says right here, verse 12. Then you will call upon Me and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. I wrote here. And number 3, read His, spend time in intense time in prayer and praise to Him. Spend intense time in prayer and praise. Just what, Terry was saying, I hadn't read on the whole thing until after you said it, and I read on, but I wrote it. I knew it. My spirit knew it when I wrote this message. That you need to pray to God. If you don't know God, if you don't know where you're going when you leave this earth, then you don't know God. If you're watching today and you don't know where you're going when you die, then you don't know God. You don't know Yeshua. Amen? Yeah, praise the Lord, brother. Amen. Amen. But some people don't. And so if you're watching today and you don't know the Yeshua, you don't know where you're going when you die, then you don't know Him. If you know Him, you know where you're going when you die. Because you know that you don't die. Your body does, but you go on to be in paradise with the Lord. And He comes to get you. And you never stop living. To know Yeshua is to never experience the sting of death. Romans says, O death, where is thy sting? There's no more sting of death. When you pass from this world, you pass into ecstasy, into paradise. You go from this life into the eternal life. From this life into eternal life. No sting of death. Amen? Death isn't a painful thing. What you leave is the pain of this world. And and then you wait for your glorified body. And you go and you rest. And you go, it's debatable. The Bible said David slept with his fathers. Josiah slept with his fathers. These kings of Israel, they slept with their fathers. Solomon slept with his fathers. Did they sleep? Were they dreaming of paradise? We don't know. I don't know. It doesn't really explain it. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't. Oh, okay. Tell me later. Okay. Thank you. All right. So let's go on. So I have had many encounters with God over the last 24 years. Raise your hand if you've had many encounters with God. Amen. Now, they're not all Damascus Road experiences. Some of them have been powerful Damascus Road experiences I've had. But sometimes God just tells me simple things, he just speaks, tells me just simple things, and quiet things, like what to preach. Now, am I following up on what Terry preached, his word today? Am I following up on what Anthony spoke about, loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul? Amen. I said, you're preaching my sermon, I heard the voice of God tell me, this is what you want me to talk about today. It wasn't with a band playing and violins and cellos and harps, and angels fluttering around. I just heard God say, this is the message this week. Amen? And sometimes He speaks with a still, small voice. He spoke to Elijah on the mountain in a still, small voice. Amen? But yet he still, when he came down with chariots of fire to pull Elijah up, that was quite an encounter. That was a Damascus Road experience. So Elijah's had both. He had heard the still small voice, and he saw the chariots of Israel and their horses with fire come and get him. Amen? All right. So sometimes they can be quiet, and sometimes soft experiences with God, and sometimes they can be, you know, explosive. I've had many encounters with God over the last 24 years. They were intimate, passionate, filled with revelation and direction. They caused me to start this ministry. Do you know the average ministry doesn't last more than 5 years? I was talking to a pastor. He started a church in Lebanon that failed, and it was a big, it was part of a pretty major, pretty good-sized church in the area, planted another church up in the Lebanon area, which I remember about 10 years ago. And I was just talking to the pastor who helped start it, and the church failed, and they moved somewhere else. It didn't make it in Lebanon. Do you know, we've been going. We're not huge, but we're not a mega church, but we are a mega messianic synagogue. Amen?
Amen.
We're not a mega church, but we're a mega messianic synagogue. And we've been here over 20 years. Since 1999, we've been here 20 years. We're in our 21st year. Amen? Could almost have a drink. Praise God. That was a joke. Just a joke. To all my Baptist friends watching, that was just a joke. Just a joke. No drinks. Just grape juice. All right. I've had many encounters with God over the last 24 years. They were intimate, passionate, filled with revelation and direction. They were encouraging, strengthening, and sometimes a little scary. The time God told me when I was first getting to know him, he said, "Are you willing to die to follow me?" That was a little scary, you know, because I was like, "What am I? Well, I know it's you, and I know you're real, and am I really going to have to die?" And I think what he meant was die to yourself. You have to die to yourself to really. And we're going to talk about that. But so it's a little scary. So mind you, Samuel learned to hear the voice of God as a boy. God speaks to me and to all of us a lot. But do we listen? God speaks to all of you, you and you and you and you and you a lot. He speaks to you. But do we listen? I'm not asking for an answer. I'm just asking a rhetorical question. Do we listen to me, or do we even hear him speaking? Do we listen to, not only do we listen to him, but do we even hear him speaking above the din and the clamor of everything that's going on? Amen? Do we even, you know, hear? Do we even, let alone listen, do we even hear his voice? You know, some of us, many believers don't. We must recognize that it is him speaking. Then we need to listen. After we hear it, then we need to listen to his voice. Hebrews 3:15 says, "As it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." So to hear God's voice speak to you and to disobey is to rebel. To not listen to God when you hear his voice speaking to you, to tune him out, is to rebel against God. Not good. Not good. That's not good. That's not a good thing. Amen?
Amen?
So don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Don't be a rebel. Amen? Deuteronomy 28. Now these are some more of the blessings if you fully obey the Lord. Now this is Old Testament, but there's a New Testament application. And which God's basically says, you know, he promises, this is what he says. If you obey me, if you give up your life, if you follow me, then if you leave families, brothers, sisters, homes, lands, farms, for my sake and the sake of the gospel, go where I call you to go, work where I tell you to work, go to worship where I tell you to go to worship, obey my voice, he says, and I will give you a hundredfold in this life, Mark 10:29, friends, brothers, sisters, houses, farms, lands, families, and persecutions, and a hundredfold, he says, and eternal life in the age to come. And eternal life in the age to come. Now, Deuteronomy 28, if it says here, you can turn there for a second. I'll just read a few of the blessings. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today. Now, in the Old Testament, we're not under Moses, so we can't keep all of his commandments, but we don't keep the letter of the law, we keep the spirit of the law. Amen. So we do, like Eddie said, Jacob said, we do our best. Keith Green said, do your best, pray that it's blessed, and God will take care of the rest. Okay? We fail every day, and we have to admit to God, God, I failed certain things today. Forgive me. I'm asking God to forgive me a lot. Trust me. Because I make mistakes, and I blow it a lot. But let's read on. So here's the New Testament application of this. Now, if you shall diligently obey the Lord, do the best you can, really, being careful to do as much of his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God, which means you're hearing him and listening. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord. Okay, so we're not talking about, in the new covenant, we're not talking about literally keeping all 613 positive and negative commandments of the Old Testament. We're talking about when God speaks to you and tells you, Carolyn, I want you to do this for me, or don't do this, stop smoking so and so, or go hug that girl over there, or don't hug her, but go tell her I love her. Amen. God sent me into a McDonald's one time. I was in the parking lot and he spoke to me and I heard his voice. He said, go back in there and tell that girl mopping the floor that I love her. I said, I don't want to go in there, Lord. I don't want to go tell that girl you love her. I don't know that girl. She's going to think I'm crazy. He said, go in there. Amen. Just do it. Amen. So I went back in that McDonald's. I went up to this strange girl mopping the floor. I said, God told me to tell you he loves you. And she started crying and bawling. And I just said, I stood there. I mean, I didn't touch her. I just stood there and she cried and said, he loves you. And I said, I just wanted to tell you that. He told me to tell you. Have a nice day. I walked out. Amen. Amen. Ate my hamburger. Praise the Lord. So, you know, the Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the offspring of your body and the offspring of your beast and your produce of your ground, which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse in the heavens to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. Have we had rain since Sukkot? Hallelujah. That's the festival of rain, where you pray for rain, and we've had rain. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above and not beneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, not just hear them, but if you listen to do them. Now, I'm not telling you to go get a sheep and slaughter it and sacrifice it. That's Old Testament. I'm telling you just to listen to his voice. When he speaks to you and you hear his voice and you believe it's his voice, I always say this too, get a confirmation. If you think you're hearing from God, ask him for a confirmation, especially if it's a major thing, like a job change or a move. Ask him for a confirmation, okay? Ask him for confirmation in his word. You know, when Elijah, you know, there was famine, which Elijah caused drought. He, by his word, God stopped the rain for 3 years, 3.5 years. And there was not a single drop of rain. And so God brought it to save Elijah's life and keep him fed and water, sent him down to the brook Cherith, and the ravens would bring him meat to eat. Then the brook dried up. God was speaking to him, didn't say a word. Elijah said to God, "What do you want me to do now? There's no water." God said, go up to Zarephath. You know, go up to Zarephath to this widow. Go to her house. And she had a little jar of oil and a little jar of flour. And she started moaning and groaning. And then he said, "Wait, chill out, lady. Watch what happens." And he did something. He prayed over it. He multiplied that oil and that, you know, by God's power, that flour and that oil. And there was food until the day that the drought ended and the famine ended. She had food to eat. She thought it was going to be her last meal. But because she was willing to listen to the prophet, she was a Gentile. But she and she said, you know, she at first she was calling him God, the Lord, your God. But by the end of the story, she starts calling him her God. She changed. Amen. Okay. So Deuteronomy 28, tons of blessings if we seek God and we obey and listen to his voice, know him, pray to him, call upon him, worship him. Amen. Cry out to him, read his word, pray, you know, he'll answer you. He'll change your life. God will bless your socks off. If you don't know God, you're already dead. If you don't know God, you're the walking dead. You are the walking dead. You know, they have this show on TV, Fear the Walking Dead. If you don't know God, you are the walking dead. You're living you've got an empty heart. You don't know why you're here. You don't know where you're going when you leave. You know, you don't. God has such a wonderful plan. "For I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future." But you got to listen to him. Not just hear. You got to listen and seek him. All right. No, but don't act as in the rebellion. Amen. So, wow. Do you fully obey his voice, his commands to you, the blessings are mind-blowing. I can only tell you what he's done for me. He gave me a relationship with him, eternal life, healing. I mean, I was dying. Literally, Sam Smith, who's my dear friend, some of you have heard him preach, he told me, "Joe Bell, you are a dead man." I said, "Sam, you're right. I was dying. When Jesus came to me, I didn't know Yeshua. I was dying that night. I don't know if I had a heart attack or what was happening to me. But if I didn't say yes to him, I think I was going to die. I know it. Something inside me told me I was dying. And I was all alone." And Sam Smith said, "You were a dead man. But I said yes to Yeshua. And because of that, I'm here. I'm standing before you." Amen. So, you know, he can extend your life. The blessings are mind-blowing. He gave me eternal life, healing, purpose, ministry. He brought me a wife. Gave me a family. I've traveled the world, had nice vacations. He's given me a nice home. I've been to Israel 16 times since 2003. He blessed me financially. I can't read what I wrote there, but anyway, he's brought me before governors and ambassadors and high officials. And yet he's also taught me how to help the needy and the downtrodden. Though few I've met listen to me, the poor people, the needy people, they'll take stuff from me, but few of them listen to me when I tell them the way out of poverty. When I try to show them the way out of poverty and the way out of, many of them don't want to hear it. They just want something. They want the stuff. They want money. They want the food. They want, you know, the jacket, or the umbrella or whatever, but they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear you preach to them. They don't want to know it, how to get out of the cycle of poverty. They don't want to. Some of them don't want to live in a shelter. They want to live on the street, even in the winter. They'd rather live on the street. I know many of them. They'd rather live out in the street than have people giving them orders when to go to bed, when to take a shower, you know, where to put their stuff, how much stuff they can have, when to come eat, when to go, when to blah, 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 blah. They'd rather be free and live under a bridge. And it's true. I've met tons of them. They don't want to be told what to do. It's their choice. It's their life. Okay, so let's conclusion. When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, He will touch your life in a very powerful way. If you continually seek Him and obey Him and are patient with Him. Oh, patient with Him. Because if you get anxious and you get in His way, one of the biggest problems I see with believers today is they get impatient. And they get in His way. And if you get in God's way when He's trying to do something, if you get in His way, He won't bless you. If you get ahead of God and start opening your mouth and panicking and losing control and acting foolish, you're not a good witness for Him, number one. And number two, He can't bless you if you get in His way. So get out of the Lord's way. That is something that so many believers do, is they get in His way and you tie His hands. Stay out of the way. Be patient with Him. And His time is not your time. His ways are not your ways. Do not get in His way. He will radically change your life, give you the desires of your heart, and bless you beyond your wildest imagination. The same goes for His Holy Spirit. The more you are hungry and for His Holy Spirit, the more He will reveal His power to you. But most people are afraid to lose control of their lives or control by surrendering to God and His Holy Spirit. Most people I meet, most Christians, the Bible even says it in Hebrews, many people have a form of religion, yet they deny the power thereof. Many people have a form of religion, yet they deny. I've heard Christian woman showed me a house recently. She said, "We don't believe in healing. We don't believe in miracles and things like that." Well, you were born, weren't you, lady? That was a miracle. You know, you got up this morning. That was a miracle. You're talking to me. That's a miracle. You know, or miracles happening every minute if you just realize it. You know. So she doesn't believe that God, she believes all those things, all the miracles of the apostles died with the apostles, you know. And I didn't get in an argument with her. I just listened to her. I said, "I disagree respectfully." But, you know, I wasn't going to fight with her, you know. But I think she's messed in the head. She doesn't know the Lord, you know. She doesn't know the Lord. So the more you are hungry for His Holy Spirit, the more He will reveal His power to you. The most people are afraid to lose control of their lives by surrendering to God. They sing that song, "I surrender all, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all." How many of us really do surrender all? Amen. You know, yet there is nothing you could hold on to that He could not replace 1,000 times greater if we would just yield ourselves completely to Him. But I hear excuses all the time. My job, my wife, my husband, my kids, my time, my responsibilities, my civic club, I belong to this ministry, or I do this knitting ministry or clothes ministry, so I can't, Lord, I'm too busy, sorry, I can't surrender all. You know, it's like Mary and Martha. I hear those excuses all the time, and the list goes on and on. When people, and I'm almost, this is it, I'm done here. When people are really just afraid to abandon themselves to Him, that's what it really is. They use excuses. You will never be sorry if you do surrender all. Thoreau said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Is that any of you? And Carol, if you'd put breathe on softly. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Is that anybody here? Is that speaking to anybody? Do you despair because you have not abandoned yourself to the Lord and to His Holy Spirit? Seriously, time is passing you by, and me. Are you in despair, or have you had a touch from the Master so much that you know you are on course, or are you, you've had a touch so much that you know you're on course to win the race and to overcome? Do you know you're an overcomer and that you're headed to the finish line, that you're winning the race? Or do you have despair in your life saying, you know, I accepted Jesus a long time ago, but I'm not really sure if I'm running the race to its fullest? And if that's speaking to you, I want to open up the altar to come. Come to the altar and call out to the Lord. Amen. I invite you to come to the altar and kneel down and call out to the Lord. If you're not sure, if you feel you have despair in your heart and emptiness because you're not sure that you have fully obeyed the Lord and that you have listened to His voice and done all that He's asked of you to do, and time is passing you by and you're getting older and you know your days are numbered and your time is drawing near, 5 years, 10 years, 3 years, 20 years, whatever. You know, I think of it as a fighting cancer for the second time. I know I'm going to live, but I got to tell you, I've thought about it. Have I run my race? Have I finished my, if I died today, could I stand before Him and would He say to me, well done, good and faithful servant? Would God say that about you? If you're not sure, come to the altar and cry out to Him. You don't have to scream out. You can cry out quietly. And if somebody would like to come and pray for the people at the altar, please do. Don't miss this chance to turn give your heart back to the Lord. Get back on the path. Win the race. Be an overcomer. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If anybody else would like to come and pray for the people at the altar, women praying for women, men praying for men. Too late to come. It's not too late to come if God's dealing with you. If you aren't walking with the Lord, if you're not listening to His voice and being obedient to Him, you can just come to the altar. Surrender your life right now. You may know Him, doesn't mean you're listening to Him. Come and surrender your life. If you're not seeing powerful blessing, if you're not seeing powerful blessing in your life, if you're not seeing powerful change, come to the altar. No shame. There's two people up here right now. Just come up here and kneel down and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to listen to you. I want to seek you. I want to touch from you. Touch me, Lord. Just ask him to touch you. Touch my life. Come to the altar. Ask the Lord to touch your life. Change you. Bless you. No shame in it. Come on. Come now. Well, before the opportunity ends here. You don't have to come to the altar. If you can't walk, you can do it right in your seat. You can do it right in your seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Terry. On the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Shalom. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Shabbat shalom, folks online, on live stream. Shabbat shalom, folks on Facebook. God bless you. Have a good Shabbat. We love you. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is Lion of Judah, www.forzionsake.org. Come and join us. Come and worship with us. And again, if you'd like to receive this teaching on the last president of the United States with a question mark, it's a prophetic message. For your love gift of $35 or more, we'll send a copy of this to you. Just contact our ministry, www.forzionsake.org. Shabbat shalom. We love you. God bless you all. Thank you for listening and watching.